With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome to House Plans. Glad you could be with us today talking a little real estate. Chris and JD from County Bank Mortgage in the house. Keith Clark from The Buyer's Broker. How's everybody doing this morning?
Hey, good morning.
Everybody doing all right?
I'd say it's a little warm in the booth this morning.
Hey, listen, it always is.
It's all good, I promise. So what's going on, guys?
Glad to be here. Talking a little real estate.
We're
busy time of the year.
We're going to need my piece of paper here only has two little comments on it. So we're going to need some questions.
We got the numbers
today.
We can discuss. I don't think we discussed.
Oh, we hadn't done September, yeah.
We haven't done. Okay, so we talked a little bit about that. And then, of course, we're always here to answer your questions, calls, and comments, anything to do with the real estate. You can give us a shout. 866-442-7553. And then, of course, if you want to hit us up on the text line, 71307. Well, Keith, everything I read this week was it's the end.
That's true.
All I read. Fannie Mae has reduced their prediction. Now, of course, these are national predictions about origination volume next year. Rates are at 9.5%. Oh, is that? Wait, that's not right, is it, JD?
5.9.
No, not 5.9. Five, right?
Yeah, five.
Five. And it's the end. House prices are down. Lowest national sales number since 2015. It's over. If you got a real estate license.
Yeah, the last 3 years.
Yeah. Damn. If you got a real estate license or a mortgage lending license, just write void on the front of it and mail it back. It's over.
I had several conversations this week. We had a broker summit in Columbia this week that yielded some. This is a good macro discussion of the industry. We don't really talk about the industry per se very often because our show really is about what's going on locally.
It was a good summit.
It was a pretty good meeting. Now, typical Keith
Most
Clark.
Of the time when somebody puts the word summit on a meeting.
And we should say congratulations to Fritzy Barber, who was named South Carolina Realtor of the Year.
Congratulations.
Well deserved.
One of our upstate own.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yep.
So
that's good.
But what were the topics? And so did they ask y'all to turn your license in?
It's over? The 2 hour conversation from a guru, an expert.
Well, if you do it in 50 minutes, you can just have the rest of the show.
His name is Swanpole, and he's a good. I mean, this guy's sharp. He looks at trends and things. But here's the net of it: big data and Wall Street will penetrate the real estate business over the next 2 or 3 years. And they've had a hard time doing it, you know, because real estate agents are fiercely independent.
Yes.
And trying to, it's like, I think the analogy he used was herding cats, you know. So it's hard to get conformity because we all have our own niche, our own way of doing business.
Sure.
And our own relationships and our own database.
Your way.
And it's our
way
that allows us to make a living. And trying to get conformity in the industry, and it's a complex industry. Every real estate transaction, you guys look at it from a financing point of view, but every single real estate transaction is unique and complex.
Yes.
Absolutely.
And you have to have a lot of knowledge to do it correctly.
Well, Keith, we struggle with that too. I mean, JD and I talk about this all the time is, you know, when you look at that big group that you're talking about, the big data, the big
Wall Street money, the big money.
All that big money. Well, they do everything they can within their power to act as if what JD and I offer is a commodity, much like buying gas. You know, you post gas prices, we'll post your rates, and, you know, that will tell us who's winning the game today, which gas station are we going to fill up at. And what they miss about that is very much what you say, that each one is unique. Each one has its own turns. You know, there are very, very few, if any, cookie cutter deals. There's always something. And is it true that we can use big tech to improve the customer experience? Absolutely.
Sure. I
agree with that 100%, but what I think you can't do is you can't take out the experience and the knowledge and the things that make it happen, and I think that's what
to make it an assembly line.
That's right.
Sounds great.
And
in theory.
Of course, remember that they're doing it with your money and your commitment to pay the
right.
money back.
Anytime I hear Wall Street getting involved in the real estate game,
it's a little scary.
Well, Let's go back to 2006, 2007.
Yeah, I think they messed it up last time. Probably going to mess it up this time.
Yeah. So, well, listen, we're going to head into our first break of the show. You're listening to House Plans. JD and Chris from County Bank Mortgage. Keith Clark with the Buyer's Broker. We're going to open up the text lines today at 71307. If you've got a question about buying, selling, anything to do with real estate, or pick up the phone and call us, 866-442-7553. We'll be back after this. Welcome back. You're listening to House Plans. JD and Chris from County Bank Mortgage. Keith Clark with the Buyer's Broker talking real estate today here in the upstate in Greenville. Got a question or comment? Just give us a ring at 866-442-7553 or shoot us a text at 71307. We would love to talk about what's on your mind as far as buying, selling, anything to do with real estate. And, during the break, Keith, you were giving us some numbers, and it's over. It's over. It was fun while it lasted. Rates are high. Nobody's buying houses anymore.
Affordability is down.
I think it's hilarious that people are talking about rates are high at 5.
I know it cracks me up.
You know, this whole buying generation right now. I'm talking about the bottom end, not the bottom, but the younger folks that are that are in the market. I think it's very interesting that they grew up in under some really interesting times. The first thing that they experienced is, you know, not all real estate appreciates.
That's right.
You know, because they were teenagers during the downturn, and so what they heard from their parents and, you know, were the struggles of, hey, we can't move because we can't sell this because it's worth less than what we paid for.
That's
it.
Right.
And of course, that would be the first generation I remember that's ever heard that speech. And then, of course, the second thing they heard is, oh, my God, these guidelines have gotten tight as a tick. And so now you can't get anything, even if you're great. You got to have this, this, and this.
And now they say five.
Five. And, of course, they grew up with rates, you know, in their teenage years and in their college years with rates being in the threes and fours, and now five is a shock.
It's usury.
And if you go back and look at the traditional rates, you know, eight is probably, over the last 50 years, eight is probably the average or more traditional rate.
Yep.
And if you talk to somebody, you know, my parents' generation, it was my first house was at 18 or 20 or 24. And then
I was happy to have it.
And then I was talking to somebody yesterday about the same subject, and they were like, are you kidding? You know, the first house I bought, and she is 10 years younger than me, so she's in her 40s, and she said, you know, the first house I bought was 9, and I was glad to get it.
Yeah.
And so now you're talking, you know, 5, and there is a little bit of a sticker shock until you start talking about the payment. You know, you talk about 5 sounds high, you start talking about the payment, and then you compare it to rents. That's the other thing I saw this week, Keith, is rents fall.
Yeah, pull back a little
pull
bit.
Pull back on rent rates, which rental prices, which should, you know, make it, it's still not cheaper here to rent than it is to buy. But, you know, all that moving in the wrong direction, I said, it sounds like doomsday. But the truth of the matter is it's block by block, street by street, and here it's still very healthy.
It is, and one of the things that people shouldn't forget is that historically, your primary residence has been the centerpiece of your financial health over your lifetime. So the idea, of course, is at the end of the end of the process, you've got one that you don't have a mortgage on. Mm-hmm. It's appreciated in value, and you've paid it down. And I think that's still true. Now, you know, it remains to be seen because nobody knows. But at the same time, it I know of no one who in the long run hasn't done well with real estate.
Right.
And don't think that will change.
Yep.
Now, you may buy a tiny house or live in a RV or with that in mind, that you're not going to have a larger portion of your income devoted to your living expense. But I think in the long run, you will find that to be a poor investment.
Yeah. So if you were to say, okay, let's just imagine that rental rates were less, and that you could rent and not invest in the home, I think you're right, Keith. And I think, JD, you'd agree with this too. When you get 20, 30 years down to the end and you go, well, what do I have? I think you'll be happy to have that piece of real estate that you own. And if you've taken some of our advice and planned even better, you'll sell that one and not pay any capital gains on it. And then you'll move into your second home that's down at the beach, and you'll live there 3 years, and then you'll sell that one without any capital gains on it.
Yep. And, you know, the American dream may not be the same as it was. Each generation changes a little bit. There's a lot of disruption in a lot of industries and a lot of different thinking today. You know, when you were talking about the mortgage, I was thinking, I beat on the millennials a little too much, but they're probably going to want the government to give them a mortgage.
Hey, well,
so if the private sector is delivering a 5%, they want the government to deliver a 4%.
Right.
Well, let's not forget that the government is what delivered the low artificial, as you like to refer to them, Keith, the artificially low rates. And so that was brought on by the government.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, so the interesting thing is, and I've said this before, so what happens the next time we get in trouble? You know, I think the Fed is trying to get rates up high enough so that if we do get in trouble, because we will, it always happens. It's cyclical. You know, they have to have They have to have some weapons, and if they don't have any weapons, then they're really going to be in trouble. And so they got to be able to do something. And so for rates to go down, they have to go up. The question is, how high are they going to go up, and when are they going to stop? And I'm not feeling concerned. But JD, you're talking to customers every day. What are you hearing?
Yeah, you know, I sticker shock a little bit on the rate side of things, and then after they kind of, you know, I imagine after they do a little research online, they start figuring out that rates have gone up. But I'm under the belief that, you know, the American dream, quote unquote, you know, trumps all. And what I mean by that is, you know, even if rates are 6, even if rates are 7, even if rates are 8, you know, if mama wants a new house, mama's going to get a new house. You know what I mean? And if the house is that you're living in is a 3-bedroom, 2-bath, and you got 4 kids, you know, the pain and suffering of having a 3-bedroom house, people are going to make that move to the next level house. Now, they may not do it in the numbers that, you know, that you would experience when rates are low, because people feel like they need to take advantage of that. But you know, if you're in a fairly strong market like we are here in the upstate, you know, Florida doesn't care what mortgage rates are. I can tell you that much. You know,
yeah,
BMW.
They're going to move people when they need to move people.
Exactly.
And so you're always going to have that. And, of course, to Keith's point that he's been making for 10 years, you got the retirees that – you know,
are migrating here
because it's a great place to be. And of course, it is true if rates were 12, they may choose not to do that. But you can only handle so many of those Michigan winters before you say 12's not a bad deal.
Well, you
I'll
know,
take it.
Chris, right. Chris talks a little bit about the next recession periodically. And I think there's been a fundamental shift in how business is done in the U.S. with tax reform and the lower corporate rates. And I think you're going to postpone that recession for quite a time. I just believe the profit that's in the marketplace today is going to continue to show up in increased economic activity all across the spectrum. And I've considered, I got out of investment real estate a number of years ago, but I'm considering today investing in the local market again. I'll be 63 Am I 62 or 3? I can't really remember.
You are old. when you can't remember how old
but
you are, you're old.
Here's the point. I would say that I'm bullish, and I get that question pretty regularly.
Right.
Yes.
From both colleagues and clients and prospective clients.
Well, listen, if you've got a question about buying, selling, anything to do with real estate, do give us a shout this morning, 866-442-7553, or you can hit us up on the text line 71307. That's 71307. We do have our first text question of the day, and it says, conservatively, a house, 2.5 times income. So when you're looking at, you know, what you buy, is that a good place to start? And I would say that generally runs true, but it all depends on market because there's such a wide variety of what you can get. And as you make more income, I tend to see that being less true. So somebody making $300 may not necessarily buy $750 or $900, you know, and then somebody on the lower end, it just depends. I had a loan officer walk in my office this week, and this is a great example. And this house, 3-bedroom, 2-bath, had been completely renovated, beautiful, really nice. I mean, it's just beautiful. If you saw it, you'd say, I'd consider that. Well, it was an IVA, and it was $74,500. Sign me up. I want some. You take that same house, and you put it in downtown Greenville,
right.
It's going to be $450.
Right.
Yeah.
And then you take it and put it up in TR, it's going to be $280.
Yeah.
And so it kind of depends. It's hard to answer that question, but as a general rule, you know, I did a little math. You know, 75. Would somebody making 75,000 look at 187? The answer is yes.
Right.
You know, would somebody, you know, making 200 look at 500? Maybe. They're probably going to find something in our market a little cheaper than that.
Well, Chris, I would approach it, you know, from the real estate point of view. I would take a little different angle in terms of that conversation, and I would say it depends, as you did, except I would say it depends on what your long-term and short-term goals are,
sure,
how long you're going to live in that house, and what your prospective income is going to be. Right?
Right, because you're probably making less today than you're going to be making 3 years, 5 years, 10 years from now.
That's right. And I'll give you a very specific.
Well, and your family dynamic's going to be different too.
That's right. Right. If your household is going to grow, you may want to buy all the house you can with the rising interest rates, rising prices, and rising income. Then you may not want to be conservative because
right.
In the long run, if you have to sell. So you're buying today. If you have to sell and buy again, it's going to cost you 8% or 9%.
Right,
of
right.
Your total value, both on the sales side, you're going to have as
well.
Much
and here's another question: is do you think they're going to, housing and rates are going to go up, prices and rates, and so you may want to consider buying. I talked to somebody this week that has been married 3 years, and they bought a 3-bedroom, 1.5-bath. They were blessed this year with twins. Well, you know what the first thing they said is? Woo, my house is too small.
Yeah.
My house is too small. We got a bedroom for everybody, but it's still too small.
I talked to two people in the last week or 10 days or so, and both of them have great mortgages right now. And we did them. They were in the high, upper threes, 30-year money, okay? And both of them said, you know, same thing, you know, this house is just too small for what we need. And while I hate to give up 3.75 and go to 5, you know, we're just going to have to do it. And that's kind of what I was referring to earlier is there's always going to be those people that have to move up. Just for, listen, the pain and suffering between 3.75 right. and 5 holds no water compared to the pain and suffering of being in a house too small
having
with too many kids.
That's what I
right.
thought you were going to say.
Having one too few bedrooms.
You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
I mean, you know,
yeah.
You know, listen, I'll pay an extra $200 a month. I don't care.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, you know,
we got
another good question over here that said that their wife, me and my wife, bought a house 18 months ago. We used County Bank to get the loan. We certainly appreciate that. And they're looking at possibly getting a lower rate. The question is, and this is a JD question, is PMI necessary? Is it for our benefit or the lender's benefit? I'll take that part and you take the other part. It is absolutely for the lender's benefit. You get nothing except the privilege of paying it.
And it is necessary for you to get a loan.
Right.
Right, in terms of necessary.
Mandatory, yep. Right?
Mandatory.
Mandatory, yes. Some type of PMI.
And so it comes in all kinds of shapes and flavors. And prices based on what vendor you use, what type of loan you use. So talk about that a little bit, JD.
Well, you're talking about the PMI perspective.
Yeah, just do you have it? When do you have to have it?
Yeah, so basically, you know, any well, we're going to head into our bottom of the hour break. I'll tell you this. Let's approach this on the other side because it is a great conversation. And it's a great conversation. And we'll discuss, you know, why do you have to have PMI? What are the different flavors of PMI? Not only that, I think he has a question too about
how to get out of it.
How to get out of it, which is another, you know, a whole nother conversation. So we'll approach that at the bottom of the hour break. We appreciate all our texters so far. If you've got a text comment that you'd like to send in, you can send it to 71307. And of course, the phone lines will remain open as well at 866-442-7553. You're listening to House Plans. Chris and JD from County Bank Mortgage. Keith Clark also here with the buyer's broker. We're going to take this bottom of the hour break, and when we come back, we'll discuss the great questions we received on the text line right after this. Welcome back. You're listening to House Plans. JD and Chris from County Bank Mortgage. Keith Clark with the buyer's broker. Have some great text questions we're going to hit up here. And then after that, we'll go to Robert and Spartanburg on the phone lines after that. So,
absolutely. Let's talk a little bit about when you have to have PMI and when you don't.
Yes.
Start with Govies.
All right. So basically,
the Govies is easy, right?
The Govies is easy. You've really got three flavors when it comes to government loans. You've got FHA, VA, and USDA. The VA loan does not have
monthly
PMI, or I'm going to call them all PMI, even though that's really a different sayings. But you do have the upfront as long as you're not disabled. If you're disabled, you don't have any. You have the funding fee that you pay for VA.
So in your FHA, your VA, and your USDA, you're going to have a fee that is charged to you that goes back to the government for insuring that loan.
And the FHA, you're going to have upfront and monthly. And the monthly is permanent. So it will never go away in 30 years as long as you stay in the same mortgage. Now, that's a whole other conversation we're going to talk about.
That.
Put that on the shelf. We hear what you're saying.
USDA, too.
All right. But we're going to loan you 96.5% of the house, okay?
We're going to carry the water, key.
Okay.
We're going to carry most of it.
So just before you get upset, just hold tight. All right, now conventional loans, you've really got three different flavors on PMI. Anytime that you borrow over 80%, you're going to have some type of PMI. Now, I hear people say all the time, well, I was online and I can borrow 95%, and it says I'll have no PMI. Well, you're going to have—
That just means JD's paying it.
That's right. It's probably lender paid. So, and the three flavors are you have your typical, your vanilla ice cream, the monthly premium that they add to your payment. It could be anywhere from $30 up to $150, depending on loan size and credit score.
Probably the
most
common.
The most common. You have upfront PMI, which is basically a one-time lump sum fee. Instead of paying $100 a month, you're going to pay $4,000 upfront. You can pay that at close, or many times you can roll it into the loan, depending on loan to values. And then there's lender-paid mortgage insurance, which is the third option. And that's where you're exchanging basically interest rate, 0.375% in rate, and not having any of the upfront or any of the monthly PMI.
So I'm going to get out in front of the next question before they text it in. So if you pick monthly and don't do anything, when does it go away?
Typically on a 95% loan, it's going to be 10 or 11 years on a, and then it kind of goes down from there. But once you reach 78%, of the original value.
Original.
Okay, so if you buy a house for $100,000 and 2 years from now, let's say you buy the perfect house, it's worth $200,000.
That's not right.
They're still going to use the $100,000 mark. Now, you can apply to have it removed, okay, and then you're going to follow. You're going to have to get an updated appraisal. You're going to have to do some other things. You're going to have to be up to date on your mortgage, et cetera, et cetera. But the original value is what they use once you get to 78%. It will fall off at that point. the monthly.
I don't like any of that, Jeff.
Okay. Well, listen, you want to go back. I mean, you're 62 years old. You want to go back when everybody has 20% down, okay?
So one of the things that we've been talking about is because of all the appreciation, you know, just year over year, you've had, what, 8% appreciation in the Green, 8.5% appreciation in the Greenville market, something like that. So people are taking advantage of, hey, I bought 18 months ago. Now my house is worth more.
Yep.
So can I refi and get out of this mortgage insurance? And the answer is maybe.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Now, you may give up that 3.75 and go to 5%.
Yep.
But here's what I would tell you.
Still may benefit you, right?
Back to your FHA question, yeah. You know, the permanent.
Right.
Those customers, and usually, you know, there's a lot of people out there paying between 3.5 and 4.25 that did an FHA loan, did not have a large down payment maybe, or maybe their credit was not quite where it needed to be, but they could still qualify. There are a lot of those people that have permanent PMI, and the FHA PMI is pretty heavy.
And unfortunately, if they want to look at it, I mean, you charge a lot of money for them to.
It's time and money. I mean, it's going to be a lot.
It's a grand total of nothing.
And maybe 30 minutes.
So if somebody is interested in just looking.
Yes.
What do they do?
Well, here's what I would do. If you have an FHA loan, you're paying between 3.75 and say 4.25, somewhere in that range.
Yep.
Hey, shoot me a copy of your mortgage statement. Okay, let me take a look at what you got, looking at balances and that. We'll do a AVM on your property. We'll get a model, you know, a possible value there.
Yep,
look at that, and then we'll compare it to what you've got on your mortgage right now. We can tell you, hey, by refinancing, your rate's going to go from that 4 to that 5, but your payment's going to go down because we're going to get rid of the PMI because of the appreciation.
So they just shoot you an email?
Yep, just shoot an email to askjd@countybankmortgage.com, and we can take a look at that and then figure out, hey, is this mathematically, does it make sense, and is it a smart financial move?
It's not emotional. It's just a math problem. And then we can say to you, here are your two options. And, J.D., I know one of the other things you've done sometimes when you take into account that appreciation is somebody may have had monthly mortgage insurance that's going to go away in that 8 to 10 years. And you may look at it and say, well, gosh, now you're still at 85 loan-to-value, but we might be able to buy a single premium for $898, and it'll go away now.
Yep.
And so sometimes you still benefit.
And the point of the whole exercise is don't get caught up on just what your rate is.
Yeah.
Because your equivalency rate, especially on those FHA loans, your equivalency rate, even though you got 3.75 on your statement, is actually maybe 5.25 or even higher.
Absolutely. Well, listen, we got a couple of text questions we need to get to, but before we do that, we're going to go over to Robert on the phone. Good morning, Robert. Appreciate you holding.
Yes, good morning, gentlemen. I hope you're doing well.
Doing great. What can we do for you today?
I just had a client listen to you as well, and I would like to tell him that because he can borrow money to buy an investment property, and he thinks that if he pays $800 in mortgage and $1,200 gets in a rental income, that is all he needs to make it happen.
Yeah.
So if there are any kind of vehicles that you can explain that it's not that simple to have a rental property and you have to have a saver or at least go follow the plan.
Yes.
So I'd like for you to tell him that.
Absolutely. Well, thank you. You want to stay on the phone or you want to just listen to the answer?
No, just I listen to what you have to say.
And all right.
Thanks, Robert.
You're very welcome. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Well, I think Robert brings up a very good question. The first thing JD and I will all, and Keith, JD and I have personal experience owning residential real estate. The first thing that we will tell you is whether you have one or 101, it's a job. And if it's a job that you're not used to having, you need to hire somebody to do it. So let's do some quick math right off the top. If you're getting $1,200, go ahead and take 15% of that and slide it off to the side because that is what you're going to be giving between 10% and 15% to the management company. And listen, JD and I have a tremendous amount of experience doing it, and even we came to the conclusion that management company is better than no management company.
Time, the value of time,
yes,
okay, is priceless. I mean, it does take time. I mean, yes. There are things that just come up. You know, when you have a tenant move out, you've got to re-go in there and,
yes.
and fix up the property. There's a lot of things that you have to do to prepare it for a potential next tenant. And there's just, you know, it's a lot of time and energy. And if you don't have it, then, you know, you need to hire somebody who does have it.
And it's money well spent. We know that from experience.
And, of course, they're going to pre-qualify the
applicants,
renter.
Yep.
They're going to make sure you don't break any
law.
I mean, fair rent is a. I mean, you could step on a landmine if you're not careful and not even know you stepped on it.
Yep.
And then, of course, Keith's number two thing is better check your taxes and your cash flow.
Taxes. And the one thing that most investors don't, they think that it's never going to be vacant. Vacancy is always underestimated.
Yeah.
So vacancy and taxes, and we can talk about that as well.
Yeah,
we come
and
back.
And then of course, like JD, when JD gets to the math of the mortgage. We'll talk about that on the backside of the break.
Yep, and then, of course, we've got a question, too, about, you know, do I buy or do I sell?
Yeah.
Or do I rent or do I sell? Excuse me.
Yep.
Yeah, so anyway. All right, well, listen, we're going to head into our final break of the show. If you've got a question or comment, give us a ring, 866-442-7553. Text line remains open at 71307. We do have a couple text messages that we're going to get to here on the other side of this break. You're listening to House Plans. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back. You're listening to House Plans. JD and Chris from County Bank Mortgage. Keith Clark with the Buyer's Broker. Talking real estate. We appreciate the texts and phone calls, lots of them today. And we're going to hit one that we were getting ready to start the conversation about. And we've gotten a lot of response this morning about the house in Liberty. Okay. $250,000 house, 250, and has about $100,000 mortgage with a rate of 3.25%. And they would. According to this, would have a positive cash flow of the mortgage is $700 a month. They feel like they can rent it for $1,200. Do I buy or do I rent? Or no, do I sell or do I rent?
Rent?
Yeah.
And so it's the same question, really, when it comes down to do I buy or invest in a brand new rental property? So you got to take the time to sit down and do the cash flow. A couple of things that you got to think about is if it's your primary now. When you convert it to an investment property, your taxes are going to triple, not double. They're going to triple in most cases because you're going to lose that preferred tax rate, and now you're going to be paying the standard tax rate. But really what you need to do, Keith, is you need to do a cash flow analysis, right?
That's right.
Here's what I think I'm going to get in rent, and then you got to take out that management fee, and then you got to take out all those other fees, the taxes and so forth. And then one of the points that you made is don't forget about vacancy.
Vacancy and taxes are two things that a lot of first-time investors don't consider. And, of course, then you're going to – don't forget to add back depreciation. Okay?
Sure.
So depreciation is the huge benefit, appreciation and appreciation for investment property. Once you do that cash flow analysis, you're going to look at what the investment world calls the cap rate. What is my return on investment?
That's right.
Return on my capital.
So if I turn this property instead of a property into $250,000 in cash and I sold, what could I get on that return versus what return am I going to get on the property as is?
That's right. So you take the cash proceeds after taxes and put them in a Roth IRA or – and I'm not giving investment advice.
Yeah, you're just saying these are other options.
These are other investment vehicles that you could take that cash and put in or whatever business, blue chip stocks, whatever you wanted to invest in and determine what your return on investment there is and compare it to your analysis on your rental property. And that – it is really – Chris, as you say, pure math.
It's
a mathematical question.
But they've got a great rate on that mortgage. I can tell you that. 3.25%, you know, with only a $100,000 mortgage.
And so I'm looking at that thinking, you know, I mean, obviously we don't have the whole story, but I'm looking at thinking I'll hold what I got. I'll just rent it. You know, but I do want to make sure that, you know, that rent, $1,200 a month on a $250,000 property seems a little low to me. But let's say that that's
that's
right
the
rent in that market.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, that's another thing that a management company can help you with is here's what we would expect it to rent for, or here's what we have properties like this that rent for. And of course, in some cases, the rental companies, as you, the management company that we, JD and I picked, also has an improvement company, so that when you do roll the property over to a new tenant, they come in.
They can paint it. They can do whatever you need.
They do what needs to be done. They also are very well versed in, hey, this needs to be replaced, that needs to be
replaced.
Here's
the type of flooring you may want to consider. Yeah, all that. So,
but to me, just on the surface, it looks like personally I would keep it and rent it.
That's me too.
But I do want to talk about, just hit it for a second. This has changed a lot over the last year, JD. If somebody's interested in buying a rental property, and you know, that financing has changed a lot. So what kind of loan to value can you get today? You know, how much are you going to have to put down? What's the bare minimum? What's really going to get you the best rate?
Yeah, you're going to be in a conventional loan product. You can put as little as 15% down now. Now, remember, again, you're at 85%, so you're going to have some PMI added to that, and the rates are going to be a little higher on your investment property, obviously, than they're going to be on a primary residence purchase anyway. If you put the 20% down and go to 80, you do get rid of the PMI. The rates are going to be very similar to what you would get at 85. But then the sort of the magic threshold is 75%. So if you have 25% to put down on that investment property, then you're going to get the best rates pretty much that you're going to get on investment, even or even at like 60% loan to value. So, you know, the 25% down is like the
It's the magic number to get the best
deal. It is kind of
the
magic number. But you can put as little as 15% down as well. I had a conversation with a guy we both know. He was going to buy an investment property over in Foxcroft. And he was looking at bought some houses over there and renovated them. And he turns around and tries to sell. You know, it's more of a flip thing. And, you know, we were looking at some numbers and that kind of thing. And so, yeah, there's still some opportunities out there.
You have to work hard to find them.
You do. You have to work a little harder to find them. That's exactly right. So,
well, guys, we do have another question, and I guess this is kind of directed to Keith here. We want to sell our home near State Park Road next May. Last year, a realtor friend said that we could sell it quickly in the 340s. How much do you think that will be changing in this coming spring? You know, one of the things that we're looking at is the market is always changing. And so what would your thoughts be on that, Keith? Would you look to sell now, or would you look to sell in May?
No, I'd wait till May. And I'd hold what I've got, do the improvements, make sure you get it ready to sell. So is there going to be a statistical increase in value in that area? The short answer is yes. But you want to create enough demand in the peak selling season to make sure that you don't have to discount it. Every individual property is unique and may or may not need improvements to get it ready to sell. Prepare your strategy. You know, we haven't talked about this in a long time, Chris, but of course, selling a home is a competition. Now, it hasn't been much of a competition over the last few years, but that's changing. I didn't bring this up, but I saw an article this week that said the buyer may be moving back into the pendulum and swinging the other way.
Yeah.
The buyer's getting more control of the transaction,
right,
starting to move towards the buy side a little bit. And so in that conversation, it's about competition.
And I'm no listing agent, and I'm not a real estate agent, so let me preface this by saying, but, you know, wouldn't you think it would be a wise decision to maybe go ahead and interview a few potential listing agents for your property?
Get
some ideas, get their opinion on, hey, do I need to stage? Do I need to change some color? You know, what do you see with my house that needs to be fixed? All the things that you did when you sold your own house.
Absolutely.
Go ahead. Well, you've got time to get those things done. Maybe go ahead and get an inspection. Maybe solve some of the little issues that, you know, are going to pop up.
And most owners know the deficiencies in their house structurally and mechanically.
Sure.
Right? You know that. But in terms of preparing it for the marketplace, that you need a professional for that to tell you all the things you just said in the short answer is yes, you're exactly right.
Yeah.
Do it sooner rather than later.
And you've got time. You got seven months we're talking about.
I spent 2 years getting my house ready to sell.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, and of course, if you need a referral for somebody that can do that, you can always send JD an email at askjd@countybankmortgage.com, and we can give you a few names. You might even get lucky enough to do a buyer's broker certified listing. How about that?
Those are few and far between.
But it could happen.
It could happen, yes.
Yeah, and so we'd be happy to, you know, give you some referrals there and just some people that we've worked with that certainly we would consider to be top of the market that are going to really give you, you know, what you really want, and this is hard to hear, but what you really want is you don't want a yes man or a yes woman.
You want the truth.
You
want
to know where you're at. Yeah. And I'll tell you, I experienced that for the very first time when I sold down in Charleston back in, I guess it was the late 90s. And I had my house listed from a neighbor friend, and I didn't know anything about real estate at the time, and she was picked because she was a neighbor friend. And the house did this. It just sat there. Nobody looked at it. Nobody did anything. It was awful. And, of course, I was in a position where I was relocating out, company relocation, and we had some benefits, but we did not get the benefit of, hey, we'll buy this from you. They didn't use a reload company. And so finally I was talking to somebody and they said, look, I know this agent. She's not real nice, but she is real, real.
Confident.
She will tell you like it is. And so she came to the house and, you know, she did not tell me what I wanted to hear. She said, look, you got it priced out of the market. You know, how did you develop this price? Well, I did whatever they told me to do. And she said, you need to price it here. You need to do these three things. And there were not, it wasn't a big list. But you need to do these three things, and she said, "I'll you know, give me a couple of weeks, and I'll probably have you at least one or two offers." And I was like, "Okay, come on now." But I listened to her. I moved the listing. I listened to her. I priced it where she wanted to price it. I did the couple of things, and literally it was like $1,500 worth of work. And lo and behold, it took about 20 days, and we had an offer. It was, you know, maybe 2% less than. And it just worked out. But sometimes you got to have that agent that just says, and it's the same thing on the loan side.
It is.
I mean, the worst thing JD ever hears is, well, somebody told me what you said earlier in the store. I can get 95% and I don't have to have any mortgage insurance. No mortgage insurance allowed.
Yeah.
Don't need it.
Yeah.
And you know that's not true.
Yeah, that's right. You know, it's just, you know, someone is not being truthful into the situation, you know, and sometimes the truth hurts a little bit. I mean,
it usually hurts.
You know,
Well, that little sting can save you a lot of trouble down
the
road.
In the long term, right?
Well,
just
I mean,
like
to your
else.
Point, Keith, time on market, I wasted
days on the market.
I wasted 4.5 to 5 months with the prior agent because they were just being nice. And I was motivated to sell. I'd already moved to Greensboro. I didn't want to make two house payments.
Oh, Chris, your house is worth it. Oh, yeah.
Pretty. Yeah. No, I didn't want to hear that. I want to hear, what do I have to do to sell it? I don't like making two house payments.
I think there was an old saying many years ago in the industry that to be, what you really want to do is be the first child.
And the second.
The second spouse.
and the third
agent.
I like that. I like that.
That's
the
long
first
ago,
first child, the second spouse, and the third agent.
That's pretty good. I like that, Keith.
You know, nowadays they just put it on a T-shirt. And, you know.
Well, listen. If you you didn't get your question or comment in today, or if you need some information about buying, selling, anything to do with real estate, all you got to do is shoot us an email over to askjd@countybankmortgage.com. If you think you might want to get rid of your mortgage insurance and just want to know what it would look like, it doesn't cost anything for JD to give you free second opinion on that. Just shoot him an email at askjd@countybankmortgage.com. If you need a referral for a real estate agent or a listing or just some free, truthful advice, all you got to do is hit us up.
If you've talked to two agents.
Yeah, you got to talk to two
agents.
Because
we're ready to set you up with a third, right?
Absolutely. But we
like
encourage
that.
Y'all to enjoy the great weather. Have a great weekend, and we'll be back on House Plans next week. This is Keith. And
happy fall, right?
Absolutely.
4
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.